Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The word of God that we meditate upon this morning is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth is removed and though the mountains are carried into the midst of the sea. Though its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling, Selah. There is a river whose stream shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. So far the word of God. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. In the year 728 BC, Judah had a new king. He was young, only 25. But he was determined from the beginning of his reign to do what was right, to be a good king and to follow the Lord. God says of this new king, whose name was Hezekiah, he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord, and he did not depart from following him, but kept his commandments, which the Lord had commanded Moses. But this, of course, was no easy task. The people of Judah had long since mostly fallen away from the Lord their God, worshiping instead Asherah and Baal. And the kingdom of Judah had been greatly reduced in size, probably significantly smaller even than the county of Green Lake. King Hezekiah had to fight with his own people to reestablish and promote the true worship of the Lord. Even those who worship the Lord in name had set up the bronze serpent, remember the serpent from their wanderings in Israel, and were bowing down and worshiping that instead of worshiping the Lord in his temple. He had to do many battles with the Philistines to reestablish the borders of Judah. And even beyond that, when he began his reign, the kingdom of Judah was subject to the Assyrian Empire. But Hezekiah rebelled, not in pride, but because this was the Lord's will, and he did what the Lord asked of him. Of course, it wasn't long before the king of Assyria came and attacked the land of Judah. And it may well seem to King Hezekiah that after all of his hard work, everything he had fought for was being destroyed. One by one, the cities of Judah fell until only Jerusalem was left. And no doubt the Assyrians spread their false gods in those cities that Hezekiah had fought so hard to reestablish the true worship of the Lord. No doubt many people returned to Baal. So there he was, surrounded by the great Assyrian forces that had conquered all the other kingdoms of the earth, including the mighty kingdom of Judah. What was he going to do? King Hezekiah did a thing then, a marvelous thing, which few of us have learned to do, despite the fact that our troubles are not nearly so great. He took the letter that the king of Assyria had written to him, demanding that he surrender. and he laid it before the altar of the Lord in the temple of the Lord. And prayed, O Lord, this is your battle, not mine. There are some who think that this was the very event that caused or inspired the writing of the psalm that we read this morning. God is our refuge and strength. 2,000 years after King Hezekiah, a young monk faced a much harder task. For he was determined to restore the true preaching and teaching of the word to a nation that had once again forgotten. Yes, they said that they worshiped the Lord, but like those Israelites, they had set up false idols and false gods. And all of Europe was opposed to him. At times he had to rebuke and even condemn some of his closest friends. One time he had to publicly condemn even the godfather of some of his children. It was a very tough task. And in this difficult task, Luther often turned to this very psalm. It was one of his favorites. He read it often, and he set it to music and sang it with his family, the very hymn that we just sang, Mighty Fortress is Our God. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, even though the waters roar and are troubled, even though the mountains shake with its swelling. What could be more terrifying than the picture that the psalmist paints for us here? The earth disappearing beneath him, the waters rising up like a great tidal wave to consume all things, the mountains themselves being crushed beneath that same swelling of the waters. And yet in the midst of this devastation, the psalmist stands quietly and drinks his morning coffee. What has he to fear? For the Lord is his refuge. Notice the threefold description of Yahweh that the psalmist paints for us. Our refuge, our strength, and an ever-present helper. He is our refuge. Luther translated that same word, a mighty fortress, a strong wall that nothing can penetrate. Here is where we can go in our time of trouble, when we are oppressed on all sides. Here is where we can go and find rest. And sleep in confidence, knowing that nothing can break those walls. We are safe and secure in Christ Jesus our Lord. Remember what Paul wrote? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Sounds like Paul also made frequent use of Psalm 46, doesn't it? He is our refuge and our strength. Yes, we can go inside those walls and we can rest and we can sleep securely, but we can also rise in the morning and go out again to face the enemies that are before us. We don't have to cower inside because the Lord is our strength. The angel of the Lord goes before us and the victory is his. No doubt there were many times in the life of both Hezekiah and Luther when they thought that all was for nothing. When they thought that all their hard work would come to naught and they would fail in the endeavors that the Lord had set before them. And they would have if it was their fight. But it wasn't. It was the Lord's fight. And so the thing that both of them desired most, to see to it that the true preaching and teaching of God's word remained, was successful. And remains even to this day. God's church stands here, even if it is only a sliver, it stands by the strength of the Lord. Our refuge, our strength, an ever-present helper. Someone who is always by our side. Our God is not like the gods of the heathens of the other nations who live far away on top of mountains and who may come if you call loud enough or if you give them enough gold. No. The psalmist says our God is in the midst of us, right by our side, always at hand for anyone who calls on his name. Even the youngest child who simply stubs his toe. The Lord is always present to help. Notice how the psalmist continues to develop all three of these themes throughout the psalm, but especially that last one. God is in the midst, living within his people. There is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She will not be moved. God will help her just at the break of dawn. The nations raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. In the middle of Jerusalem, there was a covered spring bringing fresh, clear water into the city. So that even when the city was surrounded by the enemy, the Assyrians, the soldiers could refresh themselves with clean spring water, finding strength to go back to the battle. But Hezekiah knew that as important as that fresh water was, there was something greater in the midst of Jerusalem. The tabernacle, the temple of God, where God dwelt between the wings of the cherubim. Notice the parallelism used in the psalm here. There is a stream whose river shall make glad the city of God. What is this stream? The holy place, the dwelling of the Most High. If Hezekiah was surrounded and trapped in the city, at least he was trapped in the city where God dwelt. Oh, God no longer dwells between the cherubim on top of the ark. Instead, he now is Emmanuel, the God who became man and dwelt among us and still dwells among us through his word. So that word of God is that spring of living water that gives joy and refreshment to his people. How many believers there are who have found peace and joy in that word of God, even as the earth melts around them. How many believers there are who, in their old age, maybe forget even the names of their own children, and yet still smile when they hear Psalm 23 or the Lord's Prayer. Other churches have different priorities, different goals. For some, their primary goal is to make sure that their members have a prosperous and happy life. For others, they see their task as political, trying to change the world through government. And still others give themselves wholeheartedly to helping the poor. All of these things are secondary for us. Our goal is that on the day when you face death and there is nothing in front of you but blackness and the earth is melting away, that you may know that the Lord Jesus died for your sins and you are going to be with him in heaven. this is the stream of living water that makes glad the city of God. Come, behold the works of the Lord who has made desolations in the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Both Hezekiah and Luther saw the mighty works of the Lord. Even as Hezekiah was surrounded by the armies of the Assyrians, even as it looked like all he had worked for was lost, the angel of the Lord came in the night and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. So that when the soldiers woke in the morning, they fled in fear. They returned to Nineveh and never bothered Hezekiah again. The Lord will help her just at the break of dawn. Just at that point when everything seemed lost, when the world seemed blackest and bleakest, there was the angel of the Lord to deliver his people. Martin Luther was an outlaw. Anyone could kill him, sought by the powers of the empire, and yet no one was able to touch him. Even more than that, he saw the mighty hand of the Lord at Augsburg. He wasn't there at Augsburg. He had already made his stand before the emperor. But now the princes of Germany had to make their stand. And Luther was very afraid that they would give in and everything would be lost. But they didn't. They stood on that confession of faith, which they knew to be the true word of God, even against the raging of the emperor. And think about this. They didn't use it either as an excuse to rebel. Those princes obeyed the fourth commandment, gave honor and respect to the emperor as God's earthly representative. But without compromising their faith. That was not their doing. That was the strong hand of the Lord. And the miracle that happened there at Augsburg cannot be overemphasized. The nations raged against the city of God, that is, the people of God, but they were not moved because God was in the midst of them. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The Lord makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. But notice, this isn't some grand peace mission of the Lord. He doesn't go out spreading joy and peace and making everyone get along together. That's not what the psalmist describes. But he goes forth as an avenging angel, destroying all who oppose him. He is the fire, he is the hurricane, and none can stand before him. The greatest military technology of the day, the bow, the spear, the chariot, things that set fear into the hearts of the Israelites, the Lord blew them away. They are nothing before him. And yet in all this activity, the nations of the world gathering together, running to and fro, building great things that they think they can use to oppose the Lord, and the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, the Lord of armies coming and destroying in all of this activity, in the midst of this great battle, the people of God have nothing to do. Be still and know that I am the Lord. The Hebrew word there is used of those who are lazy and idle, who have no work. We are in the midst of a battle, but we are sitting with our swords in the ground, eating our lunch on a rock, watching as the mighty hand of the Lord destroys all who oppose him. Be still and see the marvelous works of the Lord. It was he who destroyed the armies of Assyria. It was he who stopped the powers of the empire in Luther's day and sent the gospel out to all the corners of the earth. He has preserved that truth among us today. He will continue to preserve it far into the future. Even if it looks from our point of view like everyone is leaving and that the church will soon die, the Lord has sent his angel with the everlasting gospel. His church and his word will remain. Behold the mighty works of the Lord, most importantly of which, he sent his own Son to die for our sins so that we might gain heaven. These are the works of the Lord. They are marvelous in our sight. Rejoice in the Lord, in his word, and take refuge in him. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.